Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 2, reading verses 1 to 21. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are full of new wine." Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." So far, the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, as I've mentioned, today we mark the day of Pentecost, upon which the Holy Spirit descended upon the church of the Lord Jesus in a new way and with a specific purpose, namely to gather the remnant, empower them to establish the kingdom of God through the Great Commission, and to bring the world of unbelief to defeat and the remnant to glory. Pentecost, as you know, had its Old Testament shadow in very tangible forms, because the Jews would celebrate Pentecost at the day we call the Feast of Weeks, on the 50th day after Passover. And they called it the Feast of Harvests. And in a sense, it was, we might say, the Jewish harvest festival, at which they presented the first fruits of the wheat harvest and bring them before God. Here then, Pentecost coincides with the coming of the Holy Spirit, who is our seal, but at the same time a guarantee of our full inheritance, we might say. He was the first fruits. In Joel, we find that the coming of the Holy Spirit is associated with the Lord's discipline of wayward Judah, and further with the establishment and dominion of God's kingdom against all his enemies. And the final phase ends with God's glorious kingdom where God's people dwell in peace and prosperity. And so Peter unequivocally preaches that this particular Pentecost marked the true fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, and that the church has entered into a new phase that he talks about as the last days, the final phase of God's redemptive purposes. Often we speak about the Holy Spirit as the main figure in our sanctification, but we must not fail to see that he is also the central figure in bringing to consummation God's redemptive plan. He is, we might say, the last leg of the relay. That here's this triune relay. And it begins with the Father before the creation of the world. And then he created and brings his providence to bear on his people and provides for them glimpses of what he's going to do in light of their sin. This is all the Father's doing. But then we have the phase of the Lord Jesus Christ to actually accomplish all that the Father promised in the Old Testament. And so we have the Messiah comes, and he does everything in terms of his Father's will. But now we have the Lord Jesus Christ handing off, as it were, to the Holy Spirit, which is what he told his disciples. I'm leaving, and they were sad because he was leaving. And he said, but I'm going to send you another comforter. Another comforter like myself. There's going to be no diminishing of power. I'm not handing you off to an inferior person. I'm handing you off to another comforter who's going to lead you into all truth, who's going to empower you with all that you need so that we can stand up to the devil and his illegitimate kingdom of this world and spread the kingdom of God that had came with the Lord Jesus Christ, to spread that kingdom to all the nations of the world. So the Holy Spirit, we might say, since Acts 2, this is the age of the Spirit. This is where the Spirit is dominant, person of the Trinity, that is actively involved in this world and in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is under his care. He's the one that gifts God's people. He's the one that indwells us, empowers us, individually and collectively, to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Christ couldn't give that task to us and say, go ahead and do it in your own strength. We would never have been able to do it. Absolutely not. But when we waited, as Jesus said before he was ascended into heaven, to wait in Jerusalem 10 days, which would bring it 50 days from the death of the Lord Jesus Christ to this day of Pentecost, 50 days, that matched up then with the Old Testament symbolism, that they were to wait because then the Spirit would come, the Spirit of power, and he would give us all that we need to be faithful witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring to a glorious climax, an end, perfection, the gathering together of God's people and the spread of the gospel throughout the world, so that the beautiful bride of the Lord Jesus Christ can be complete and perfect in every way. So the times that you and I are living in are the most glorious times. Sometimes we don't think about that. Sometimes you think, oh, if I was only in the Old Testament and I saw the mighty plagues that God brought down upon Pharaoh. I mean, what wonderful experience that would be to see the Red Sea parted and God's people walking through, to see the victories that they had, that no one would have imagined that they would have those victories. Or even living in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ, seeing him with our own eyes, hearing him teach, seeing the miracles that he did. But here, in this age of the Spirit, we have the whole Word of God. I mean, what other phase of God's working did they have that? Abraham didn't have that. David didn't have that. Moses didn't have that. We have all of those writings in our hand. I mean, the times that God's people had the Bible in their hands is not that long ago. It's not that long ago. People in the Reformation time didn't have a Bible in their hands. But finally, it got collated and put together and printed. And even then, they didn't have any. Everyone didn't have it because it was expensive. But now, each and every one of us has multiple versions, multiple Bibles in our hands. I mean, what a precious gift that is. What an empowering gift that is for us. But not only that, but we have the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us has the Holy Spirit. I mean, the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament did many mighty things. The prophets only spoke because they were, the Holy Spirit was in them. Mighty acts were accomplished in the Old Testament by various people that God used, but it was the Holy Spirit that came upon them. But every one of us has that. Every one of us that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ have the Holy Spirit. I mean, how powerful is God's kingdom? Every person, maid servants, men servants, youth, old men, old women, everyone has the Spirit of God. How powerful is the church because of that? And yet so often we look at the church and we look at it as a meager institution. Is it going to survive? Oh, we're just so outnumbered by the world that we're not paying attention to what God has done. People like Elijah, one, and then 400 false prophets. They were no match for him. No match at all. Or the armies surrounding the city and the prophet's servant panicking. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? No, we're not on our own. We have the Holy Spirit. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to recognize what phase we're in and how we've been empowered by God and what purpose we have and pursue it with confidence and humility. Now, this is the age of the Spirit, and it is the final phase. It is the final phase. When Hebrews talks about the Lord Jesus Christ coming and speaking, it talks about it in these last days. God used to speak to us through prophets and dreams and visions, but now in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. What more revelation is going to come after that? Who's going to come after the Lord Jesus Christ and say, let me add a few words? No, he is the Word of God. But now we have the Holy Spirit. As I said, the Holy Spirit is, as I said, the relay leg, the last leg of the relay. This brings us to the finality of God's wonderful plan. That's the age that we live in. When the benefits of the and the power of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ is affecting the world as we preach the gospel. However powerful people might be, however powerful nations may be, however active the devil is, he cannot prevent the Lord Jesus Christ establishing his kingdom and perfecting his kingdom. That's what's happening in our days. And as I say, people don't always get the right view. And so they are either pessimistic about the church, or we're not doing well, we're weak, and so I mean, not that we're perfect. I don't want to give that impression either. But looking down on it and turning their eyes to some other views that people have promoted, that somehow there's a golden age coming and then everything will be great. It's now. Today is a day of salvation. Today, God's kingdom is growing to the ends of the earth. This is the final stage of God's glorious, glorious kingdom. We need to have eyes to see it. And we need to have the strength not to be intimidated by the devil, as the disciples were. I mean, they had all of this wonderful victory, and now the Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the dead, and they are preaching, and all of a sudden, what do? They get arrested. Because they healed a blind man. And they're preaching in Jesus' name. And the chief priests are asking, how did you do this? What authority do you have? What power do you have? And they said, well, actually, it's through the Lord Jesus Christ whom you crucified. It's through his name that this man has been healed. And they were telling them not to preach in the name of Jesus. And they said, well, we should really obey God rather than men. And so they threatened them some more. And then they let them go. And then they go to the other believers. And they thank God that he is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he has everything in his hands. They themselves could not stand up to these high priest and the leaders of the Jews, but with God's strength and his Holy Spirit, they were able to stand up and speak and not be intimidated by them like the other people. Beautiful God, that's what we have. And so we shouldn't be intimidated by the world around us. It is a big battle that we have. But as Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. That's what he's doing through the work of the Spirit. And the gates of hell are not going to prevail against it. Doesn't matter how divided our world is. Doesn't matter what powers there are that are against the Christian faith, as so many countries are. They don't want missionaries to go there. They don't want the gospel to be preached freely, so they restrict it in so many different ways. Doesn't matter what it is that they do, God's kingdom is going to spread to all the ends of the earth. No one is going to be able to stop it and stand against it. And we've seen that in history, and we see it now. And we ought not to lose hope. Don't be downcast, because people love to give those kind of statistics that make Christians feel sad. Oh, not many people are going to church anymore. Oh, some churches are closing down. It's not so popular these days. Don't believe that. Don't believe that. God's kingdom is growing every day. Every day. And this plan has been put into place, as the angel said. This same Jesus that you've seen going to heaven is going to come back. He's going to come back to bring his wonderful kingdom to its glorious end and glorious victory. The Old Testament is full of kingdoms that try to persecute and destroy the Israelites. None of them succeeded. For periods of time, They had them under their power, under their rule, like Pharaoh, but they didn't destroy them. No, they left Egypt in victory. And there were many other kingdoms that tried to wipe out the Jews, but they never succeeded. Those are examples to us of the spiritual truth that the kingdom of God is not going to be beaten down, not even by the devil himself. Now, God is going to build his church, and it's going to be established, and it's going to be seen in all of its victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. People of God, we need to work individually and collectively with great hope and confidence. As the Apostle Paul says, and he wasn't exaggerating, he experienced it in his own life. Even though he saw death every day, he writes, we are more than conquerors. We don't just conquer, we're more than conquerors. Because of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Christ is with us. No, we're living in the last days. In other words, there is no major event left other than the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to take his people to be with him, to have that victory that God the Father planned before the creation of the world. And that includes then this final harvest, because that's what Pentecost was. It was the beginning of the harvest. And they brought forth their first fruits. But there was a potential of a lot more to come. But this was the beginning. The beginning. And so on the day of Pentecost, it began. 3,000 were saved. And then on another occasion, 5,000 came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And from them, from the small church, as it was persecuted and spread over other cities and other countries, the churches were planted in those countries. And it's a mushrooming effect. As we're saying in our Sunday school, the enemies of the church were describing it as they turned the world upside down. This was not a propaganda slogan of the church itself to say, yeah, we're so successful, we turn the world upside down. This was the enemies of the church saying, now, this, have a global mission that God has given to us. The Lord Jesus Christ has given to us. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And so, I authorize you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's our mission field. Is all the nations of the world. To bring in this final harvest, of which we have the first fruits there at Pentecost with 3,000 saved. And by the way, remember those people were from all different nations of the world. They were so surprised that they were hearing from these Galileans all of these languages. And they were all speaking about the redemptive works of our Lord Jesus Christ, the mighty acts of God. So there and then, in a microcosm, we have what's going to come in its fullness at the end of this final phase, that the bride of Christ is going to be perfect. It's going to be made up of every language, every color, every nation under heaven, poor, rich, men, women, children, everyone that God has elected to bring to faith, not one will be lost. People of God, that's the purpose for which the Holy Spirit was given. It wasn't given that we might say, oh, look how great I am. Look how mature I am. I can speak in tongues, as we have in terms of the Pentecostal churches or the charismatic churches. That's what the focus is on. I mean, how sad that is. That's not the purpose which the Holy Spirit was given to us, so that we might glory in ourselves. It's to help us to preach the gospel, to reach the ends of the earth, to bring people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, as Peter says on the day of Pentecost, as in verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Anyone that humbles themselves and believes the gospel enters in to this wonderful body of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where there are no distinctions. No one is higher or lower than someone else. We all are children of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, the missions that we do, so often we have to be careful that we don't make the same kind of errors that Paul speaks about in Corinthians, where we come with eloquence and we come with all kinds of plans. Not that we shouldn't plan, by the way, I'm not saying that. But planning in such a way that we think, if we do it this way, if we do it that, then we're going to be successful. Then somehow people are going to be open to that. We have the power. It's the Spirit working in us. It's using the word that the Spirit has given to us and preaching the word, sowing the seed. The important thing is to sow the seed. How you sow the seed isn't going to make it more productive. No, planting the seed is what you're called to do. But so often we focus upon how I plant the seed. If I do it this way, it'll be successful. If I do it this way, no, it won't be successful. No, just sow the seed. Sow the seed. Because the Spirit is working. The Spirit is the agent, the divine agent that is working in their hearts to open them, to receive the things that we're preaching, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How more powerful can the missions be that are powered by the Holy Spirit? We mentioned that so often before about Lydia. Here she is, she's listening to Paul. And what happens? We're told that the Holy Spirit opens her heart to receive the heed, the things spoken by Paul. That's what happens in every person that comes to faith. The Holy Spirit opens our hearts. You didn't open it. Nobody else opened it through their eloquence or argumentation. No, the Holy Spirit opens it. No one comes unto the Father unless he draws him. People of God, we don't have to focus on that. That's not for you to do. You are to sow the seed. The harvest is going to come by the working of God's Holy Spirit. And we are all given that task. Every one of us. If you have the Spirit of God, you have that commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your mission field may be your family, your relatives, your acquaintances, but a mission field, it most certainly is. And so the question is, what are you doing in that mission field? Are you intimidated because it is your family or your friends, and you're fearful what they might think about you when you raise those things? You used to say, the things that you ought not to bring up in conversation, politics and religion. I don't think our society is taking much note of that these days. Politics is on Main Street. And it's right in your face. They don't care. Because they are so taken with that message in terms of their views, they want them known. Well, how much more so should we in terms of the gospel? Why should we be intimidated? They're ready to march down the streets and do whatever it does to capture attention. I'm not saying that we should do that. But certainly, we're to lift up our voice. I mean, that's what the Old Testament said. Lift up your voice. And tell the people. They need to hear that. Otherwise, they're going to perish. And finally, we have the final blessings. As I said, the promised Holy Spirit. As God's kingdom nears its full manifestation, so our experience of redemption becomes richer. In the New Testament, we have this glorious blessing of being able to enter into the gift of God that is given to us in a far greater and comprehensive way than others did before. In other words, we are the temple of God now. He dwells in us. In the Old Testament, he dwelt in the midst of them, in the tabernacle. And they could have access through the high priest once a year. Every one of his people has access to him every moment of every day. You have access to God. And if you had access to any other famous people, I don't know, if you have some heroes that you think, oh, if I only could talk to them. Let's just say they came and dwelt in your house for a couple of weeks. Would you take the time to talk to them? Would you relish that time? Would you use that time? I'm sure we would. We'd talk their ears off. Because we're so honored to have them near us. Well, God has come to you by the Holy Spirit. How often do you think about him? How often do you talk to him? How often do you pray and read his word and ask him to help you understand and to strengthen you? I mean, if we had Jesus with us, would you talk to him? Or would we just go about our life and he'd just be silently there, but you don't interact? You have the Holy Spirit. What interactions are taking place in your life with him? The Bible tells us very clearly, don't walk in step with the Spirit. In other words, walk in obedience to the Spirit. And you may say, well, I don't hear him. He's given you the word. That's what he's saying. And he wants it to work in your life, you to mature in the Christian faith. It's profitable. So read it as though he's speaking it to you. And ask him for help and strength. He is totally engaged in your life. He sees everything you need. He tells you to pray. He prays on your behalf. If the Spirit is so engaged in your well-being, then surely you should be aware of that and involved in that. Asking for help. And as I said, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit as being an earnest, almost like a down payment. But you see the difference between the down payments in the way that we know them? If I give a deposit of something, if I leave, I don't know, I might leave my driver's license, take a car for a drive from the show place, and I leave my driver's license so they know that I'm going to come back with the car. Well, that's kind of a deposit. But an earnest is different. An earnest is part and parcel of what you're going to receive. So, for example, if I don't know, purchase a house, I have to put a down payment, but it's in money, which is part of the payment for the house. So what God has given to us is a down payment, an earnest, but it's a type of the full blessings that we're going to have. He's part of the blessing. We're going to dwell with God forever. In His house, in our Father's house, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Spirit. But now we have a foretaste of that because we have our life with the Holy Spirit now, here and now. Here's our foretaste. If you're in heaven, you think you're going to have time, make time to speak to God? Or we're just going to say, thanks for giving us life now, and we'll get on with our life over here. We'll just enjoy ourselves over here. Will we not look into His face? Will we not engage with Him every day for eternity? I mean, heaven without God is hell. It's only God that makes it heaven. It's only His presence and His relationship with us that makes all the difference in the world. So, learn to do that now. Relate to the Holy Spirit. He's in your life every day. And that should whet our appetite for eternity. We will be with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we will not be one in millions and millions, as though God doesn't even know that we're there in terms of His people. No, God dwells with you. With you. That's going to be our glory in heaven, that we will dwell with God in the house of God forever. And He will know that we're there. And we will delight in the fact that we are with Him. People of God, that's what we have to look forward to. But in this life, we have this wonderful task that He's given to us. Though it has its challenges and struggles, diseases that we get in this world, pain and suffering that comes our way, opposition that comes our way, but we're here because we have a wonderful message and the people around us need that. And so we serve Him. We serve Him so that they too can be saved and that they, with us, can be part and parcel of God's glorious people that dwell with Him for eternity. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're thankful for this wonderful day in the calendar of the church to draw our attention to this very important truth that You dwell in our hearts, that our hearts are the temple of God in which You dwell by Your Spirit. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we might keep our lives pure then, that we might do all in our power to walk obediently before You and to enjoy and celebrate this wonderful union that we have, to dwell with You, with Your Holy Spirit. A foretaste of what is to come, to dwell with the triune God. And our Father in heaven, how much we want that for those around us that will dwell without God for eternity. Our Father in heaven, we pray that You would strengthen Your people, give them joy and confidence, and that they might indeed lift up their voice and with their voices and with their lives to be light and salt in this dark world in which we live. Our Father in heaven, bless Your churches in every country, all true churches, strengthen them, multiply them, and therefore build Your glorious bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear our prayers receive our thanks, for we bring them in the precious name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Red Hymnal number 449.